And I got to say, pretty proud of us. We predicted it. And not too far off either. I was only off by a few points. But I really did have a gut feeling. And I talked about this last week. And I felt even more and more sure about it as the weekend went on. And Sunday morning, I really felt good about the Bucks versus the Vikings. And it's about matchups for me. Yes, I do vote with my heart a little bit. Not as much as you. You go completely with your heart, which is fine.
No, I don't. I don't think that's true.
With the Bucks, it seems like you do. Like your prediction.
I'm going to pick the Bucks the majority of the time.
Well, it seems like when we were picking the records, you had them at like 11-6.
They might do that.
Well, you might be right now. Yeah. But at the beginning of the season, it didn't look good.
What I said about this game was it was going to set the tone for the season.
Yeah,
my belief. So I think it's not going to be a terrible season. The defense looks great.
Dude.
I think I said the final score was going to be 24-21.
Yeah.
And it was 20-17, 3 points.
Yeah.
I got that right.
Yeah.
And I think the defense looks great.
I said 27-20. Ended up being 20-17. I mean, they still gave up some big passes and stuff like that. But what I saw from some individual effort and what I saw from, like, team speed as a whole, they're faster now. They drafted for speed, and they also signed 6 undrafted free agents, made the 53-man roster, which was crazy, and they actually contributed pretty well. But the biggest takeaway for me was clean football. And by clean football, I'm talking very little penalties. They had 3 penalties, and one of them was BS. That pass interference on Izian was a phantom pass interference.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was no, not the interception. The pass interference.
Nah, I saw that play. He held him a little bit. Come on.
No,
you're being a homer now.
I am not. No, every national pundit I saw agreed.
Nah, he held a little bit. I mean, was it?
It would that
you could have called it. You could have not called
what
it. But
what he did happens in
bit.
Every end zone situation. There, you got a bunch of bodies in the area. Did he impede him from getting to the ball? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'll die on that hill. There is no way. That was a BS call. Should not have been called. You might as well call anybody that touches anybody in that situation. But besides that, even if you add that, they had 3 penalties for 19 total yards for the whole game. And the shocking thing about that is the crowd noise at that stadium was so loud, I would not have been upset if the Bucks had 2 offsides penalties or false start penalties on offense. They had 0. That was crazy with that crowd noise. Not only that, we didn't turn the ball over, which is hard to do on the road, and we took the ball away 3 times. So when you win the turnover battle, most of the time you win, and yesterday was evidence of that.
Yeah.
Poised. I thought Baker Mayfield had a shaky start. Looked like he was a little amped up the way Jameis used to get, you know, for big games or the beginning of games. He overthrew some people. I thought even Dave Canales was a little amped up with his play calling. He made some weird calls in the first half. You know, why are you targeting Co-Keefe 3 times in the first 2 drives?
Yeah, that was weird. That was like their game plan, Co-Keefe.
He was wide open, and Baker overthrew him for a touchdown. But damn, dude, you got Cade Otton. You know, you got Trey Palmer. You got all these guys if you want to, like, throw to somebody that's not Chris Godwin or Mike Evans. And by the way, first half, Mike Evans had 1 target all the way until right before halftime when he got the touchdown. But, I mean, I was tweeting out, do you not know that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are on this team? I miss Byron Leftwich. I said that in the first quarter. I actually said that. But even he got it together. Second half play calling was a lot better. And the defense, who I predicted would be defensive MVP on Twitter yesterday morning, a guy that I was demanding they trade last year, a guy that disappointed me so much, I sold my jersey on Mekari.
Oh.
And I felt like what I've seen in training camp, I really feel like he's gonna try to earn that $100 million contract. And if he does what he did yesterday all year long, he'll get it, either from the Bucks or from somebody else. Devin White was awesome yesterday. Good God, dude. He was all over the field busting people's asses. If they called a pass, they were hit immediately. He had tackles for losses. He was great in coverage most of the day. He was a force. I saw him running through blocks and tackling people. That's the Devin White that played in the postseason in 2020. We need that Devin White every game. And the Bucks are formidable, dude. Like, I saw speed all over the field on defense. I saw the offensive line not that bad for the first game playing together. I mean, what did you see? I mean, you watched the second half.
I only saw the second half.
Yeah.
But I think that after watching that game, my biggest takeaway was that if the defense continues to play like that and get better every week, you don't need Baker Mayfield to be a Pro Bowler.
No.
He just needs to be not be Jameis Winston.
He needs to be Brad Johnson.
Yeah, they're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, man.
You know, so that was my biggest takeaway. Defense definitely won that game. They seemed to get a little more comfortable. They couldn't run the ball still.
Yeah, we got to work on that, definitely.
But I did notice, you know, as opposed to last year, it was like 3rd and 6, 3rd and 5 after 2 runs and not 3rd and 8.
Yes.
Like last year. And I think those few extra yards definitely helped a little bit. I like that little shovel pass that Baker had. That little, it was dangerous. Tom Brady ain't gonna do that.
It was very Patrick Mahomes-ish of him.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was flashy. It was fun. It was a fun game all around. The 57-yard field goal,
dude.
I was questioning, like, that seems far even for a dome, and that guy nailed it. What's his name? McLaughlin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So normally, that's something I wrote down in my notes too. Normally, it doesn't matter who the Bucs kicker is, even Ryan Succa. We have such PTSD with our kickers. I still get nervous whenever a Bucks kicker goes to kick even an extra point. But after one game, watching how this guy just nailed things right down the middle, I feel real good about McLaughlin. Like, really, really good. That 57-yarder was good for 60, and it was straight down the gut, man.
It was, yeah. Perfect.
And that was that proved to be the winning field goal at the end of the day.
And that could be another, if that guy is good from long range, that could win some games too.
Defense, 100%.
Special teams might get you into the playoffs this year. I don't know, you know, I think the only team that lost in the NFC South was the Panthers, and
right.
That's because they played the Falcons.
Yeah.
So New Orleans won, Tampa won.
New Orleans barely won too. They didn't look great. Well, I watched that game.
Yeah. I didn't see any of that game, but I did pick Derek Carr in my FanDuel. He did okay. Not great.
Yeah, but clean football for the Bucs. Penalties, very low. No turnovers. We took the ball away. Everybody seemed to be doing what they were supposed to be doing on the field. And special teams, not just to kick, but like kickoff coverage. Kamara punting the ball very, very well. Special teams A+ yesterday. You can't give them anything but an A+. And special teams have been a problem for the Bucks for a long time. We had a good kick return at one point. Yeah, I mean, it was a good game for the first game for so many new players. I mean, we have a ton of youth on our team. We used to be one of the oldest teams, and now we're one of the youngest teams in the league. And kudos to the new coaches that we hired. And for Todd Bowles, calling a good game, time management, everything. I didn't have any criticism of Todd Bowles yesterday at all. I thought he did a solid, solid job as a head coach yesterday. Solid. He didn't do anything that blew my mind. One thing, he went for it on a fourth down. That Baker got it on a quarterback keeper, which I thought was dope. And by the way, let's try to think of the play of the game, because there's like 3 plays that I'm thinking of that are the play of the game. What's one for you? And I'll see if it's
the catch for that first down that Chris Godwin made.
That's one of mine.
That was
phenomenal.
Tremendous. Yeah, that was amazing.
The catch and the call, 3rd and 10.
Yeah,
and most of the time the Bucks, Todd Bowles, he would have vetoed the you know Byron Leftwich last year and said run the ball up the gut so we could drive off more time. But if you get that 3rd and 10, the game's over. And that was an Arians type of call. He's like, yeah, throw the pass. And then, of course, Chris Godwin, unbelievable catch.
Makes a tremendous catch.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other play would be that it wasn't even really an interception. He just took the ball away from him. That rookie corner, that Eisen kid, just taking the ball away from, was it Jefferson?
No, it was Osborne.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the other receivers. But, Yeah, he was there.
And game saving too. I mean,
it was awesome right before the half. You know, stopping the score and keeping it tied. It was a pick, but he just ripped it out of his arms. He was like, he could have hit him, and you know, like most instinctual, like, you know, players will just try to get the tackle right there, try to hit him, but he saw an opportunity to just rip that ball and grab it. That guy's on our team. He was an undrafted rookie.
Yep.
Free agent.
It looks like a
what a steal.
Looks solid.
What
looks
a steal. Trey Palmer, touchdown, first game. Steal, undrafted, rookie. Oh, I'm sorry. We may have traded up and got him in like the fifth round. My bad on him. But still, he slipped way down. He was one of those guys at the beginning of the combine, they said was going to be in a top three, a three-round pick. He's awesome. I thought one of the plays of the game, and there's a mic'd up clip going around, and I tweeted it out earlier and put that to my quarterback. Baker Mayfield, it was only a two-yard game, but it was in the fourth quarter, or in the second half, I believe the fourth quarter. But just that attitude and how the team rallies around that. When he stiff-armed the defensive back for like a two-yard gain around the outside, if you go watch the clip, it's on my Twitter, and the Bucks tweeted it out, you could hear there's a mic that picks him up. He tells the defensive back after he stiff arms him, you need to get some weight on you. You're a little boy or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. It was badass, though. That's the Baker Mayfield I want. I want him to talk smack when he needs to talk smack, but also be mature when he needs to be mature. But that chip on his shoulder, he's had his entire life, really, being kind of an undersized guy and all that. But everybody's counted him out. Everybody counted the Bucks out. And I was listening to an interview with Rashad White earlier today, and he said that the whole team is kind of pissed that they're predicted to be one of the worst teams in the league. They have confidence in themselves. They're like, why would they say that about us? Because we lost Tom Brady?
It's a big loss.
It is a big loss.
Yeah.
But it's not the whole team. There's 52 other people.
I mean, I think you look at it, and there's only 32 teams?
Yeah.
In the NFL?
Yeah.
Someone's got to be last, right? And
sure.
I think if you look at the Buccaneers on paper, losing Tom Brady, you know, being so far over the salary cap, having to get rid of all these, you know, vets that were here for a long time, and then replacing them with, like, the kid that's the nickel corner now.
Yeah.
That's an undrafted free agent. They don't look like they're going to be good. So, I mean, like, I kind of understand why these pundits are like, yeah, Bucks are going to suck. Somebody's got to suck.
Right.
And if you're just looking at the paper, because you don't have anything else, now you got week one to kind of look at, and you go, okay, maybe the Bucks aren't so bad.
Yeah.
If they keep up this trend and continue to get better, as long as they continue to get better, you know, they could be something. But if you look at it on paper, which they were doing before the season, yeah, they look like they're going to suck.